With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Minutes on the timer, and the topic is music.
Yeah, Windy, the music has helped you out a lot this week, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I've had a bit of a difficult week this week. We're in September, end of September, and I've got family illness situations going on, mainly my girlfriend's family, to be honest, but it's having a big impact on her and therefore a big impact on me.
Yep.
People I care about are unwell. And it's hard, and my work is really stressful at the moment, and that's hard too. And the thing that's brought me the most light this week, without a shadow of a doubt, was my favourite band releasing their new album. So the band is called Fleet Foxes, but I think that's largely irrelevant. Like, it's just what I want to talk about is the impact that the music has had on me, and I guess I'd say my mental health, but that feels like, that makes it sound as though I'm suffering from some sort of mental health crisis, and I'm not. I'm just having a tough time. I'm resilient. I'm coping with it. I'm doing okay, but I've been feeling a bit low. And listening to the Fleet Foxes album on repeat, basically since it came out, has just completely changed that. I've always been into music since I was little. My dad is a huge music fan. He's very knowledgeable about music. And so I grew up in a house which was just constantly filled with folk or prog rock or the Beatles. And that has definitely shaped my view of music, my understanding of music and my appreciation for it. But I had a period probably from about the age of 30 to basically just before lockdown where I just stopped listening. I stopped listening to music and I just spent all my time listening to podcasts. And in lockdown, I've kind of changed that. I've flipped it. And while I'm working at home, because I'm not going to be disturbing colleagues, I can put music on in the background. And it's kind of rejuvenated my love for it. And it's been amazing. But yeah, this album just makes me feel, it takes me away to a happier place. And I think it's their style as well, the nature of the band they are. I literally feel like the sun is shining on me when I listen to them.
Yeah.
And that sounds ridiculous, but that's how I feel.
I had a similar experience this morning when I was walking Frank, my dog, and Michael Kiwanuka won the Mercury Prize yesterday. And that is my favourite album of the last year. It's probably released over a year ago. So I lose concept of time when these lockdowns happened and what is last year and this year. I can't remember when it was gone, but when it was released, but I was there, had the same thing. It was sunny, but I was listening to it, and it's such, despite dealing with some really sort of tough subjects, certainly, you know, the world and how the BLM movement what a lot of black people and people from ethnic minorities are going through currently. So it deals with a lot of that. but it's also such an uplifting album. And I was just listening and found myself feeling not euphoric, but just very happy and content listening to this amazing kind of, I don't know how to describe it, sort of like 70s soul or northern soul. And then there's a bit of indie in there. It's just an amazing, incredible piece of work. But yeah, it has. It's interesting what an impact music can have on your mood, both positive and negative.
What are your main reasons for listening to music? Do you like it as an escape? Do you like it to raise you up, or do you also enjoy albums that that tackle tough subject matters and might make you feel
like
sort of negative emotions?
Well,
as well?
I think probably my most favourite genre is hip hop, and I would say 95% of hip hop is about violence and other things. It's become a little bit more woke or a little bit more conscious in the last decade or so. But by and large, hip hop comes from places where things were difficult for the people that made that music. So people write about what they know, right? So I listen to it, and that doesn't impact me. I just admire the craft that goes into writing bars. Of course, I listen to all kinds of things. I think what music does, though, it's different. When I find an album I love and I really love it, it consumes you, doesn't it? You listen to it constantly to the point where you can't listen to it anymore. And that's probably what you had with this album, this Fleet Foxes album. But it's a different type of entertainment than say film. It gives you a different feeling than film does. It's much more personal relationship, and it's more comparable to podcasts, I think, than other forms of media, in that it's a very personal thing usually.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but I remember it's happened a couple of times. There's been an album that I've absolutely fallen in love with, really like loved it to bits. I've loved every bar of every song, and I've related to them, and the different songs have made me feel different emotions. And then I've played it to someone else, and as we've both been listening to it, I've felt really embarrassed and felt like, oh God, this isn't actually that good. I don't like it because it's good. I like it because it's speaking to me.
Yes.
Have you ever had that feeling?
Yeah, of course. And not necessarily it's good. It's mine's generally is the anxiety that they're not liking it as much as me, and actually they're not relating to this at all. And they don't, because it is such a personal thing. And that's why it's best to just, when you're recommending music, is not to sit, have a listen to that. Don't sit down and go, listen to this. Because the person, if they're not completely into it, and you've got your relationship, we had this conversation with T from the Fighting Cop podcast, where he recommends stuff that he knows that I will like. He understands my taste, and he recommends stuff to me. And even though he recommends things to me, and I take him, you know, his word on music, he's got an impeccable taste, and it's very eclectic, right? But he might recommend an album to me, and I won't listen to that album for 4 months, 5 months, and then I'll get to it, and then it clicks. Sometimes it won't click, but then it clicks, and I'll go, T, that was wicked. Whereas I think when you recommend something, you expect them to listen to it and get into it straight away, and it's frustrating. So, you know, it's that personal relationship with the piece of music or a particular album is just that. What I find funny is I try my best not to get angry at anything. The only time I lose control of things irritating me is when I've had a few too many beers and I might be on Twitter and people are fucking me off or something, right? But one thing that always gets to me is if someone has a different opinion about something I really like in terms of music. Like, this argument about Beatles, who's better, Beatles or Queen? Anyone who says Queen is an imbecile, in my opinion. And it really fucks me off that anyone out there can think, even conceive of a world where Queen are a better band than the Beatles. I don't understand it, and it fucks me off. And I think less of people who do think that. And that's completely stupid and irrational, because it's about your personal relationship with these albums, right? Or these bands. But yeah, it fucks me off if people don't agree with my taste in music.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, agreed. And just to go back to T, I don't know how he does it, but he is able to he's basically got Amazon's algorithm in his head.
Yes.
He's able to perfectly understand what it is you like in music and recommend something that is just your taste.
It's a gift.
So he recommended to me the album Black Beans by Choosy in Exile, which I've spent a lot of the last 6 months listening to and absolutely adore. He doesn't recommend stuff to me that often. He recommended that. He just knew I'd like it, and he was absolutely spot. He was bang on the money. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, but if he was recommending stuff every 2 minutes, it would lose it. So what he does is he waits until he finds something that he nails and goes, right, that's for Windy, that's for Flav. And he doesn't.
He's got us in little boxes, hasn't he? He knows. He's got us.
Yeah,
compartmentalised, and he knows exactly who we are and what we appreciate.
It's genuine. It's a gift. It really is. And if you asked him, maybe we should ask him about this shit. But if you asked him, I don't think he'd understand where it comes from. It's just like a gift.
He just knows.
It's something that he's through his experiences has picked up, that he's sensitive to what other people's tastes are.
So you spoke about the craft and appreciating the craft.
Mm-hmm.
What are the first, in terms of the musicality and the instruments, what are the first things you notice when you press play on a new LP?
I used to like, whenever anything folky, just a guitar and usually a male voice. So I'd always look for that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I just feel like if I listen to something and I like it, I just get this feeling inside me and I'm like, this is the bollocks. And actually it's often within the first 30 seconds that I think incredible. Like I keep talking about T here, but he recommended a Freddie Gibbs album, just the latest one he's released. I can't remember what the name of it is now, but anyway, and as soon as I heard it, the first song, I was like, yes, this is quality, and just listened to it over and over again. As it turned out, the response was critical acclaim, so it wasn't like I was onto something that no one else was. But it's just this feeling you get when you listen to something that resonates, and for whatever reason, that did. Actually, Windy, I want to ask you, is there any albums from your youth that you adored, but you listen back to now and think, Jesus, that's not that great?
Yeah, there's a lot. I was really into Britpop when I was... So I was born in 84, so Britpop hits 94, 95, and I was really into Blur and Oasis and the Blue Tones especially.
Yeah, hey, you loved the Blue Tones, didn't you?
I really did. I really, really did. I went to see them, 20 plus times. I absolutely adored them.
Fucking hell, really? Jesus, that's an obsession. Yeah, yeah. 20 plus times?
Yeah, I would go and see them every time they played in London or surrounding areas. And I had loads of friends through them as well. So it was great. But I listen back now and some of their music is really good and some of it is not. And there's loads of Britpop bands that I liked at the time and sound horrendous now. But then also, after the Strokes released their debut album, there were lots of bands, often the bands, who tried to do what the Strokes did, and I really liked them at the time, and I listen back now and think, Jesus, that is absolutely like horrendously bad. There's no redeeming features. Razorlight, for example.
Oh,
I thought
God.
Razorlight were really good when they first came out. Nah. I listen to that now, it is awful.
Yeah, shit. And the thing is a lot of that music at that time were sing along tunes. They were like, people would kill me for saying that. We were really into indie, going back to what I said a minute ago about disliking what other people would like and vice versa. But indie for me was going to the Borderline Club with my mates.
Yeah, I love that place.
Getting pilled up and just singing indie tunes in a big room full of sweaty people and hopefully pulling at the end of the night. That was indie for me. And I listened to it and I got into it. But I listened back to it now and it's a lot of it's just shit. It's not even worth.
There's still some nostalgia there. There's some memories, the quality of the music.
Just to say this, I've had to make a concession. Like, I think Oasis are actually a better band musically than people give them credit for. I don't think they get enough credit. I think people they think if you're obsessed with Oasis, then you're just some, twatty
pie and mash
kind of guy. Whatever. But so that was that's how I remember indie. But my one. Just it was and I listened to him recently. There's one of my I considered Melancholy and Me in the Infinite Sadness by Smashing Pumpkins is one of like top three albums, and people love it. It's like a classic, right?
Yeah.
I listened to it the other day and I was like, oh my God, this is not as good as I remember at all. In fact,
yeah.
Bullet with Butterfly Wings is borderline cringeworthy. And I feel bad saying that. Anyone who's a massive Pumpkins fan is going to hate this, but that's just what I feel right now.
I went to see Smashing Pumpkins not that long ago, maybe, God, okay, maybe it was that long ago, 7 or 8 years ago, and I hated it. I really hated the gig. And I had this, exactly what you said, I was expecting so much because I liked those albums back in the day, but oh, it was so bad, so, so bad. I'm interested as well, you mentioned, you said the word euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I you know, if people have listened to the drugs episode, they'll know I've never taken MDMA, so I've never experienced chemical euphoria.
Mm.
But I think I have felt euphoria a handful of times in my life.
Mm.
And a couple of them, a handful of them, have been at gigs.
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
And I think being in the middle, so the last time this happened was when I went to see Beach House. They're that kind of band anyway. They're very synthy. The songs tend to build up into a crescendo,
yes.
In the same way that like Sigur Rós tend to do that. It's there's a point. They bring you along like a wave which you're being carried along on, and then suddenly there's this peak. And I had this really sort of deeply visceral experience at a Beach House gig where I just felt absolutely on top of the world, and I literally, it's so cliched, but I had my head like raised towards the ceiling and I had my eyes closed,
yes,
and I had my arms out and I just felt amazing.
Yeah, well, I had a comparable thing, although I was under the influence. I was on my brother's shoulders. It was a Kings of Leon about 15 years ago concert at Wembley Arena, and I was on my brother's shoulders with my arms out looking at the stage, and they were playing a crescendo of one of their massive songs, like all built up, and I had my arms out and I looked up and there was a camera behind me and I was on the camera on the screen above Kings of Leon in the middle of this crowd with my arms out. It was what, if not probably the best moment of my life. It was incredible.
I couldn't interrupt you because it was too good, but our 15 minutes are up.